This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. And on this week's episode, we continue our previews of this year's Olympic Games. Joining me now is David O'Connor, who is coach of the US team and the manager of eventing at the US Equestrian Federation, Joni Morris. Welcome to the program again.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Well, let's begin with you, Joni. If you can, first of all, give us the list of these runners and riders for the Rio Olympics, and with the not just with the horses that are named, but also the reserve horses as well.
Sure. So we have a great group of horses and riders that the selectors named on the 20th of June. We have Philip Dutton riding Simon Roosevelt, Tom Tierney, and Caroline Moran's Fernhill Cubalon. Philip has also been named a direct reserve on Mighty Nice, who's owned by the H&D Group, and Fernhill Fugitive, who is owned by Ann Jones and Tom Tierney. We then have Lauren Kiefer, and she's been named on Team Rebecca's Veronica. She's also been named as a direct reserve on Marie Le Menestrel's Meadowbrook Scarlet. We then have Boyd Martin on the Blackfoot Mystery Syndicate's Blackfoot Mystery. And he has a direct reserve horse in Gloria Callan's Welcome Shadow. And finally, for the fourth team member, we have Clark Montgomery, who's traveling over from England with Laughlin Glen, who's owned by Bill and Holly Becker, Jessica Montgomery, and Catherine Kraft. Our traveling reserve is Maya Black, and she is riding Doesn't Play Fair, who's owned by Don and John Doffelmeyer.
Well, that's the squad. Let's talk a little bit about, David, if you would explain why they're now called direct reserves. There seems to be a new term, and that three of the four named riders do have spare horses.
Yeah, I mean, it's more of an official term now, but basically if they're the direct reserve means that if their horse had some type of setback that they would, you wouldn't go on to the alternate list, you would ride completely and be replaced by one of your other horses. And so we're very fortunate that those three guys have horses that were very competitive and are very competitive. And the selectors felt like if the one didn't go, then they would be replaced directly onto the next one. So that's a little unusual thing. It's happened in the past, but not usually with multiple riders.
And then, of course, there are those athletes and horse combinations that have been named as reserves that would not be expected to travel. If you would like to just talk about those, Joni, just name those for us, and let's give credit to the owners of those horses, too.
Absolutely. We have a very deep, strong bench of what would be non-traveling reserves at this point, pending no changes. That's Matt Brown and Super Sox BCF, who's owned by the Blossom Creek Foundation. We have Sinead Halpin and Manoir de Carneville. He's owned by the Manoir de Carneville Syndicate. Lynn Szymanski, who rides the Donner Syndicate's Donner. And Aletha Wallace, finally, who rides Simply Priceless, also owned by a syndicate bearing his name, the Simply Priceless Syndicate.
David, if you would just explain for our wider audience here, your role as coach means that you recommend to the selection committee, although you're not part of the selection committee. Is that correct?
That's right. I'm just an advisor. I definitely say what my beliefs are and what, you know, over the years leading up to this thing. And but I don't have an actual vote on the actual selection committee. The selection committee is a really good one, chaired by Bobby Costello, and that really, they've done a very thorough job, they were very, very good conversations leading up to, in the end, what is a very hard decision.
Well, of course, looking at that team of Philip and Boyd and Lauren and Clark, you've got obviously half of that team with incredible depth of experience at Olympic and World Championship level. David, when you look at the team to make your recommendations, how much is based on current form or recent form and with that partnership with that horse? And how much is also looking at the experience that these can bring, these riders, to a Olympic Games and the importance of the caliber of that team?
Well, certainly the mixture is important. But I think one of the things is that the selection procedure starts what you would call like a drop dead date. So 18 months ago, it's when the actual selection procedure starts, and that's really mandated by the IOC. And so what you're looking for as much as anything is the consistency over those 18 months in the different competitions, CCIs that have been all the way around the world have been named here in these last 18 months. And so the consistency is the most important thing, because when you go to this type of environment, Olympic Games, you know, having somebody that feels like this is business, you know, that they can produce that result that they've produced over and over and over again, is really, really important. And obviously you want somebody that's, you know, not struggling to be able to do that, but somebody that is well within themselves and being competing well. And I think all of these team members in reserve have that ability, and have shown that ability here in the last 18 months.
Well, of course, you've known many of these riders for years. Of the nine that have been named, David, how many have actually come through the O'Connor system, so to speak?
Yeah, I haven't really kind of looked at it. I mean, it was, you know, the we've been very, very fortunate to have very good people, you know, and it's great to see them on their own take that next level, and be able to compete, you know, on the world stage. You know, it's a proud moment for us, but they, you know, really, they're here standing on their own. They're here through their own, by their own testament or their own riding. And, you know, I think that has shown through.
And you've been watching some of the British-based riders, of course, based over there and competing in Europe. How often have you seen them perform, David, over the last, say, 12 months?
Yeah, quite a bit. I mean, I went over last year, probably went over 5 or 6 times, you know, either through team trips or other trips. And Clark and I obviously have a great relationship about discussing, you know, his competitive plans and what to do. We've got a great, kind of ability to communicate with that way. And then I went over 5 or 6 times this throughout the winter and the spring, kind of just like I saw everybody else, and saw him compete at Brandon. So, you know, we've been in touch quite a lot all the way through this whole process.
Talk a little bit, David, if you would, about those particular partnerships, and if you could just give us a snapshot of those combinations that have been selected and what you would expect to be in Rio, you know, in terms of their highlights and the performances, what our audience really should be, you know, focusing on in terms of why they've made it to the Olympic squad, the very elite squad that it is.
Sure. I mean, one of the big things we were looking for is the consistency on the cross country, and all four of these horses have got great records as cross country horses. And so Philip, you know, being there with Cubillon, it's you know, that's shown to be a very, very good cross country horse. He's kind of gone over the world. Took an Aachen last year. You know, it's a very good jumper. Boyd's horse, though a little bit newer, you know, only in the last 13 months, 14 months. But the horse is a really good cross-country horse and very, very fast. And that partnership continues to grow and grow. Lauren with Veronica has really showed herself here in these last 3 years, you know, being second at Kentucky twice, with great performances, a good cross-country horse, you know, and good on the flat, and has up to now shown some really exceptional show jumping skills. So also, you know, and Clark is, you know, he certainly has a horse that is one of those unusual horses. He can play anywhere in the world. He lead from the first day. He is cross country, gotten stronger and stronger and stronger, and was seriously on form here this last year. And again, you know, good show jumper. So, you know, it's a good team. It's a good cross country team, which is the number one thing, and a good jumping team. And, you know, so we're looking to go make a mark. We're looking, for, you know, those performances that you feel like are completely within themselves going to the games. And so I'm actually, you know, quietly very excited about the whole process.
We should actually add Maya Black, of course, who put on a wonderful performance at this year's Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, David, in that must have impressed you amongst many other people.
Yeah, Maya's a very, very good rider, and her experience is grown kind of year by year. The horse sits in a little mighty mouse, I call him. You know, he's very, very talented, a good jumper. And I think Maya's really grown into her experience with him and had a fantastic spring all the way through. So though the least experienced of the crew, I would say she brings great depth of their personality for concentration and competitiveness. And it'll be great to have her on this trip.
Well, Joni, let's turn to you now, because it's just a few days now before the team go to the Land Rover Great Meadows International presented by Adequan, which is, of course, the final run for these horse and rider combinations that will be heading to Rio. Talk a little bit about your role now in, I suppose, monitoring them. Make sure they all get there in one piece.
Yep, just make sure they get to the right place at the right time with all of their everything that they need. My job is to take all the pressure and stress off the riders and the grooms, so that they just have to worry about their horses, worry about their performance, and not worry about how they're going to get from here to there, or you know, any of those logistics that are involved with a trip like this. So we head to Great Meadow.
I'm going to step in here. So we actually all just work for Joni. So our jobs are actually to do kind of our jobs, but then we just do what Joni tells us to do.
Well, at least you understand that, David. That's why the relationship works.
taking a couple years, but they're trained now.
Well, at least he was coachable, Joni.
Exactly. Everyone heads to Virginia next week, and we'll do a couple of days of training sessions and a informal combined test. We're lucky enough; we base out of Morningside. There, the Hussein family's wonderful farm there in the plains, and then we'll all head over to Great Meadow, have that competition. Then some of these guys, Lauren and Philip, will go to Aachen, and then we'll do that the following week, and then we head down to training camp on the 23rd in Ocala, and we're there for a week before we fly out. So keeping all of the moving pieces headed in the right direction is my job. And luckily we have a great team. We've, you know, wonderful vet and Dr. Susan Johns. We've got Steve Teachman, who keeps all the horses on the road. So we have a great support staff. Joanne Wilson's our physio, and she keeps us all laughing hysterically and all the horses happy as well. So we're really, really lucky in that sense. It's a big team effort. And so we just make sure that everyone's, like I said, in the right place at the right time, and take all that stress off the minds of the riders and the grooms so that they can really focus on their horses.
David, explain, if you would, what you will be looking for in that run, that final mandatory outing. What will be expected of those combinations now that they have been named?
Well, everyone will be a little bit different, because we started this process 4 years ago by naming the team early and then trying to prepare the horses as you would prepare for any other, you know, four-star competition. And so every horse is actually will probably run possibly a little bit different and what their final preps are, because there's some horses that would go out there and want to run their final trial a little quieter on the cross country, and there's other horses that compete better if they go at the cross country. Obviously we're looking for the dressage and show dummy to be up to the level and continue to work on the skills that we've been working on, you know, in the last 2 years. I would say for cross country, every horse is going to be prepared individually to get them into the best place where they feel like at the Olympic Games they can cut it loose.
And Joni mentioned the final training camp down in Ocala. At what point do you arrive there, and at what sort of fine tuning would you expect at that point in their training just before they travel? Will it be a more sort of low key, having had the mandatory outing done behind them?
Yeah, we try to keep everything actually fairly low-key and try to keep the horses happy. And that's the best thing, is that, you know, it comes down to communication. And so that really feels like it all is about trying to keep the horses healthy, happy, and enjoying their job. And so that's really, in this last month, that's the key to it. It'll be, you know, pretty low pressure in the end. I really feel, as we get closer to the championships, you almost like to taper a little bit instead of trying to up the pressure. And so that will be the thing when we do leading that up to Great Meadow, and then also then we have a quiet week as we go off dock and we do some things, come back, I'll go up to go see the riders because they're going to be based between Virginia and Pennsylvania. So I travel to them instead of having them come down. So I'll see them a lot in this next couple of weeks, and then we all get together as we go down to Florida. But the thing is, there's enough internal pressure just, you know, by being in this type of situations you just have to make sure that that doesn't transfer over the horses, and the horses are happy and healthy about and looking forward to what they're going to be doing.
Well, as the coach now for a number of years, David, do you feel any sort of pressure to deliver medals when it comes to the Olympic Games, given that the U.S. has not won an Olympic or world medal for a while now? Does that weigh a little bit extra on you going into a Games?
Well, I don't know about extra, because it's obviously that was what we're all here for. That's what I was here for. That's what I was hired for 4 years ago. And so that pressure is always there. But I feel very confident in this group, and really this whole program leading in the last 4 years that lead us to this point and beyond, we hope. That's what we're all looking for. This is, I want to get the feeling like these guys have everything that they can do to be able to show the world what they can do they know how to do and do that over and over and over again. And when that does, then medals happen. That level of professionalism and that level of proficiency is what we've been talking about right from the beginning. And we're not going to change now and think that you're going to come up with some magic thing. This is going to be good riding, good cross-country riding, good jump riding. That's where medals will be won from.
Well, Joni, you mentioned the team that supports you, the vets, the farriers, and so on, but we should also mention the grooms that will be traveling, because this is the highlight of their career for many working grooms, isn't it, to be able to go to an Olympic Games?
Absolutely. It's a real feather in the cap for these guys that, you know, look after these horses day in and day out through the good and the bad and the success and the not so successful. So I'm really proud of all of them, and you know, they've all definitely earned their trip as well. They'll all stay together in a groom's village, which are some apartments right by the venue, so they'll have constant access to their horses, which hopefully will, you know, take a big weight off their minds. And it should be a really good trip. Emma Ford, she's groomed for Philip for a long, long time now, and this will be her third Olympics with him. And she'll be heading down with Cubalon. Shannon Kinsley will head down to Rio with Lauren Kiefer to look after Veronica. Marla, she works for Boyd Martin, so she'll be looking after Blackfoot Mystery. Sally Robertson is traveling over from England just about as we speak at the moment with Glenn for Clark Montgomery. And then Caitlin Calder will be coming down with Devon Playfair and Maya Black.
Well, good luck to all of them, of course. But finally, David, in terms of the prospects, you're going down to Rio full of confidence. We have heard about the facilities down there. We've talked to the course designer. We've talked to the technical delegates and the course builders. So we have a little sense of what you can expect down there. But what do you expect to be the biggest challenges personally as a coach competing a team at an Olympic Games in South America?
Well, the good thing is that we're lucky that we've been there before, because we were there for the Pan American Games down in 2007, and this is the same site. I'm very, very confident that the site, that the horses are going to be happy there. The logistical problems when you get into these type of things is we'll be staying down in the village with the athletes, and that transportation back and forth is always going to be something that is not completely in your control. And having a mindset going to these type of major games of being able to let things go. And as Joni says, Joni and my job is to make it easy for the rider. So all they really have to do is think about their riding. But those logistic things are always the complicated part about traveling. As I say, you're traveling at, now you're a basketball team, and they're not used to being a basketball team because they, you know, are individual. They have their individual businesses and they do things individual. So keeping that together is going to be the making that easy for all the riders. Luckily, we've got a great group of people, and they all get along. They all respect each other and all like each other. So that part will be the fun part. And then the rest of it is actually all about the horses, keeping the horses happy in their travel. But I said the site is good, and I feel totally, totally confident about where the horses are going.
Well, we know the teams to beat, but you know that Sir Mark Todd's going to be there. This will be his 8th Olympic Games. How many for you, David?
Actually, I only did 2. I got to ride 4 times, but I just did the 2. This is my 8th Olympic Games of going to them. I've been to every one since Seoul in 1988. in lots of different roles. So it's a familiar process, and there's nothing like it. There's the Olympic process is something that's been in my whole life, and really do thrive on when you get to that and have that much, be around that much excellence in every sport around you, and knowing that those other 10,000 athletes have gotten there and they've basically gone through the same process that these athletes have gone to. That does, it just raises your, level just by being around it. It's quite an unusual experience.
Well, finally, Joni, you've got to make sure all the pieces move in synchronicity on that chessboard. What are you most looking forward to?
I am most looking forward to seeing these guys put in personal best performances, hopefully. I mean, for what they've been working towards for so long. I've known them all for quite a while. And, David always says, usually that doesn't happen at the Olympic Games, but your backup performance has to be really, really solid. And I think he already talked about the consistency of all of these horses and riders. But for me, it's the fruit of years and years of work that you get to see on the world stage. And like David said, it's an environment different than any other competition that you go to. I'm really proud of them all already, but I'm looking forward to the 9th of August when we can see how it all comes to fruition.
And for those members who are planning to go down to Rio, Joni, any final words for them of advice traveling down to support the team?
No, but if you're coming down, let us know, because we'd love to know who all's going to be there and help out any way we can. We definitely like our Team USA aspect of it, and and like to know who all of our supporters are and what we can do to help them out.
And of course, those that are left at home to watch will be cheering you on from afar. Well, the very best of luck to you, David, and to you, Joni, and the rest of the team going to Rio for the Olympic Games. And thank you for taking the time to come on the program.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, could I just mention one thing about staying at home? If people are staying at home and want to join in the Team USA experience, we are working with the Millbrook Horse Trials to live stream everything throughout their event up there in Millbrook, and we'll have some Team USA parties, and we'll hopefully do some Skype interviews and things with the riders. People have plans to watch and want to get together. Everyone's going to be up at Millbrook in New York.
Wonderful. We'll be cheering you on from there too. Well, thank you very much indeed, both of
thank
you. The best
you.
Of luck.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
And you can find more information about the U.S. team by visiting the U.S. Equestrian Federation's website at usef.org. And on the USEA website, you'll find more information about that final mandatory outing. There will be updates on our social media channels at Facebook and Twitter for all things Olympic as we head into this summer's Olympic Games. And we'll have more for you here on the USEA podcast next week, so do join us then. Until then, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.